Welcome to episode 9 of the Sports Report podcast. I'm Alondra.
I'm Aiden.
And I'm Billy.
Today's episode, we'll be discussing the latest topics from the sports world, including the NFL, the NBA, the NHL, the MLB, and more. Will we start off with Billy and the NFL?
So, the NFL has been really exciting lately, with free agency still going on, and after the draft, things have started to ramp up, retirements and things like that. GM firings and all sorts of stuff that have happened this week that I'm going to tell you about ever since the draft happened. So Doug Baldwin, he was reported that he was dealing with an injury that might put him out for the rest of his career two weeks ago, around there. And Doug Baldwin was released by the Seahawks, and now it comes to fruition. He will retire from the NFL and the Seattle Seahawks after a really decent career, making a name for himself as I think he was undrafted or around a 7th or 6th round pick. He was really late. They kind of just picked him up, and he really made a name for himself in Seattle as the number one wide receiver to Russell Wilson, and had a big impact for him. Baldwin, now with the absence of him, the Seahawks are going to have a really tough time trying to replace him. A wide receiver like him. They did draft DK Metcalf, the combine kind of god to everyone who didn't know anything about football exactly. He's a really good player. He has, for a second round value, really good pick, and it could be a really good replacement for him. Metcalf, not necessarily a slot wide receiver as Baldwin was. He's not a small, speedy one, more of kind of a power guy, red zone threat, tall. So a little different there, but they still have Tyler Lockett, who's kind of fits into the mold of a Doug Baldwin, almost.
Yeah, he could replace him in the slot.
Yeah, and then they also have Metcalf now, and they still need to fill some wide receiver holes, but they have that right now, and their offense looks all right. Still, it's going to take a little bit for them to actually fully rebuild and do something good with their team, because I don't think with the team that they have right now they're going to do very much at all. Some minor news. Bills signed former Raiders tight end Lee Smith. Lee Smith also played for the Bills previously. He's a backup tight end. A really puzzling contract here. They gave him a 3-year contract worth $9 million. I think this is more of a blocking, possibly, type of deal. Just sign him as a blocker as kind of a backup tight end. The Bills do have absences and at tight end, as they let go of Charles Clay last year, and they don't really have a certain tight end there. So he's kind of good veteran depth. And I don't know if $3 million a year for a contract is really good for Lee Smith, but I mean, if you got to get tight end depth and that's your last resort and you want a good, solid backup tight end, he's your guy. So the Titans signed former Patriots practice squad wide receiver Cody Hollister, brother of Jacob Hollister, who the Patriots traded last week to the Seattle Seahawks for a 7th-round pick. So they got the Hollister twins out of there. Cody Hollister signed with the Titans. Former Patriots player Mike Vrabel, the head coach over there. Hollister joining former Patriots as Deion Lewis, Malcolm Butler, and Logan Ryan. Patriots head coach Bill Belichick will take on the defensive coordinator role after Greg Schiano resigned to spend more time with his family after being hired like 2 months earlier, and he decides to quit before even getting into the defensive coordinator role. So Belichick will be the defensive coordinator. Really, I think this is kind of a good move by the Patriots, as they don't need to hire a separate defensive coordinator now, and you already have Belichick. As he's a great mind. He was a defensive coordinator before he came in to be a head coach with the Giants and teams like that, and those are Super Bowl-winning teams, and I think he can really do some good stuff with the defense.
Yeah,
and I think he should have some play call abilities with the team anyways.
I mean, so he certainly knows what he's doing. He's been a defensive coordinator before. He has obviously been very successful as a head coach, and he's very intelligent with play calling and all that.
Yeah, and I definitely think that they're not going to take a step back from Brian Flores when he left for Miami. I mean, Belichick, I think, will fill the role perfectly, and I think it's a good move. You know, Schiano was probably going to be questionable if he would make the defense good or not. I think with Belichick, it's just going to stay the same, and you're going to get the good right production, so I don't think it's really a risk at all.
Yeah, and the Jets fired their general manager, Mike McCagnon, and Adam Gase will take over that position. And Adam Gase did not want to sign Le'Veon Bell and didn't want to spend a lot of money on a running back, seeing that the running back position has a lot of injuries incorporated into it. And they are supposedly seeking out trades for Le'Veon right after they signed him before the start of the season even, which could be interesting as Le'Veon seemed really happy to be there. Obviously on a really big contract.
Yeah.
But
and I think this is more of a kind of Maccagnan move than it was a Gase move, obviously, because they fired Maccagnan. Now Gase takes over as GM. Gase didn't want Le'Veon at all, so on that big contract. So Gase is probably going to try to trade Le'Veon out of New York. And that's going to have a lot of dysfunction because now Quinnen Williams, we don't know if they wanted, if Gase wanted Quinnen Williams or not. What, you fire a GM like a week after he drafts your franchise cornerstone at defensive tackle and Quinnen Williams, he signs one of your franchise players and Le'Veon Bell. Now he's gone and you have Adam Gase, a completely new guy. And with the organization is like in shambles right now. We don't know what they're doing. We don't know how the players are going to react to this. We don't know what's going to happen. The chemistry is all messed up from this, I'm sure. And the Jets were just on the rise. If they just keep McCagney, I'm sure they'd be completely fine. But now this is just bringing more problems to the team chemistry and what players are going to stay and what players are going to leave.
Yeah,
traded away.
And I'm sure if they do end up finding a trade for Le'Veon, it'll probably be for picks or first-round picks trying to build that, as that seems what Adam Gase likes instead of signing big players.
Yeah, I think Le'Veon, with his contract right now, is a little too big, and the risk probably a little too much. So I would see like a team who's already producing really well right now trying to get him and trading off a late first-rounder, like they don't need it. But another team that needs a running back that maybe not so much could go for a second round pick or something like that. So I think he'd fit more into like a second and like a good player or 2 seconds or something like that would be a trade for Le'Veon, especially when Antonio Brown only went for like a fourth round pick and a third or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So who knows? Trade values right now are really screwed up and we have no clue what they're like anymore. It really depends on what team is trading.
And the Patriots bring back Jamie Collins on a one-year, $1 million contract. I personally am pretty excited about this because of the time he spent with the Patriots a couple years ago. He was a solid defensive end, really good at like getting into the gaps and making tackles.
Yeah, he was a great tackler, great I thought he was great in coverage. He's been great in coverage. He's a great he's good at sacking. He's all-around linebacker, really.
Yeah.
And I think he's a great fit with our already stacked linebacker core. And getting him 1 year, $1 million, you could release him if he doesn't fit. But I think this guy,
he already knows the system.
Yeah, and yeah, he already knows the system. New England was he was great in New England. Cleveland, not so much, but we've already seen what he could do in New England. And if he can bring that type of production back to New England, then a 1 year, $1 million contract is an absolute steal for the Patriots. And I think it's a great signing.
Yeah. And the Jets trade linebacker Darren Lee to the Chiefs for a 6th round pick.
Yeah. So Darren Lee, a former 1st round pick from the Jets. This is kind of the Maccagnan fired effect. Gase decided he wanted to get Darren Lee out. He really hasn't had a lot of production. Been a big disappointment for the Jets, seeming as he was a 1st round pick, and now they're trading him to the Chiefs for a 6th round pick. And the Chiefs, they do need to build up their defense big time, so I think that's a good overall selection. Trade for the Chiefs, as they really need to bring back their defense, as we've been saying multiple times. They need definitely more defensive players. Some other really big news from this week that was really surprising: Patrick Peterson, who I don't think has been suspended for anything in his whole entire career, was suspended 6 games for violating a PED policy. This was just came out of nowhere, really surprising, especially this early in the season, having a guy like Patrick Peterson suspended, especially with Kyler Murray and guys like that. They're kind of building up to try to win now, and when you have your best player on the team being suspended, and now you don't have that much on defense. You have Buda Baker and some other guys, but that's about it. And now you have your leader of the defense out. It's going to be really tough for them. A really interesting story from the Browns and after the draft, running back LJ Scott out of Michigan State, he decided to retire from football with the Browns after 2 days in the mini camp, which was really puzzling. I didn't understand it the only a lot.
The only thing I could think of is he just didn't like the amount of work he had to put in.
Yeah.
And I just don't think he was expecting the workload that a true NFL player has to do.
Yeah.
But, you know, it would have been nice to see him play in a game. I don't really know much about him, but
yeah,
he could have been a solid player. You never know.
He's a decent running back at Michigan State, but obviously I think he just saw it for himself that he is not ready for the NFL. The NFL is not for him. He's not fit for it, and he can't carry that workload, and he decided to retire. So, I mean, good for him realizing that this isn't for him and not wasting the team's time, and I hope that he will pursue a career that he's fit in. I'm sure he knows a lot, and I'm pretty sure he graduated from college, so he made the right decision. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that he will do fine wherever else he is. So I wish him good luck. The Ravens signed former Broncos linebacker Shane Ray. Shane Ray, a first-round pick from the Broncos. Kind of a disappointment. Pretty average. But the Ravens, with the departure of CJ Mosley to the Jets, good pickup for them. Just kind of setting back their linebackers. Also, Terrell Suggs gone. So they put some new linebackers in there just to hold positions, and possibly Shane Ray could come out of his shell and finally start playing like a really good linebacker like he should have been. And finally, the Patriots signed linebacker / special teamer Brandon King to a 2-year extension. He's a core special teamer. Patriots love special team players, and it's really good for depth and just overall good pickup.
So now on to the NBA. The Bucks are up 2-0 against the Raptors in the Eastern Conference Finals. Really just blown out the Raptors in both games. It's
really surprising.
Yeah.
The first game was tight. So in game one, the Bucks closed out the Raptors on a 10-0 run. The game with the Raptors led by as much as like 15 or like halftime and stuff. That was despite a big game Kyle Lowry, who was usually a playoff disappointment.
Yeah, they still lost too, which is really
Giannis has really been defending Kawhi really well. Kawhi's been I wouldn't say struggling,
yeah,
but I think he just hasn't adapted to having to get around such a big body,
yeah,
and such a elite defender, as well as all the height that he has. Yes.
I think the Raptors have really good depth against the Bucks. The Bucks obviously do too, but I would think this would be way more tight than it has been so far.
The difference maker in this year has been the bench play.
Brooke Lopez especially.
Yeah, Churchill.
The supporting cast around Giannis and Kawhi.
Mm.
And Kawhi's and the Bucks' depth has shown to be way better than the Raptors.
Yeah, Brooke Lopez had that massive game, 29 points.
In game one, the star wasn't Giannis, and the highest score wasn't Giannis. It was Brooke Lopez with 29.
Mm.
But he's turned into an elite
really well ever since he got off that Lakers team.
Yeah.
He turned back kind of like when he was in the
Nets. In yesterday's game in the 22-point win by the Bucks in last night's game, they had six people in double figures.
Pretty good.
That's great contributions.
Mm.
Yeah. And they won this, and then Brook Lopez, who only scored 29 in the first game, scored only six, and they still won by 22.
Yeah, Giannis really dominated that game with 30 points, 17 rebounds, and just absolutely dominant.
The Bucks are one of those teams that I love because they build through small trades, small pieces, and just solid drafting, and they build it up through time, and they don't go after the big superstars necessarily, and they find a way to win anyways through great teamwork and execution.
Exactly. And the coaching has been terrific, doing a really good job to bring all those what you would call, I guess, small pieces
to
work together and turn themselves into a major part of the franchise.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love how they all step up. Like, Giannis dropped 30, but then their other all-star, Chris Middleton, only dropped 12. Mm. Then you have 14 from Malcolm Brogdon, 13 from George Hill, 17 from Irian Ilyasova, and then you have, like, 15 from Mirotić. Like, that's the contributions you need.
Yeah, and Chris Middleton, I was talking about how small trades they've kind of been building it up ever since. Chris Middleton, who's their second best player on the team, all-star, he was originally drafted by the Detroit Pistons, I believe, with a second round pick. He was then traded for Brandon Jennings, who I don't even think is in the league anymore. So a really small trade there. They get back Chris Middleton, and they build him up through the years. They stay patient with him, and he turns into an all-star.
Yeah, I mean, they took Giannis late, like the after the lottery. Yeah, the lottery. So like they made their team without high lottery picks.
Mm. They just built it through smart picks and good trades. Seeing potential in people, and their scouting department has to be amazing.
Yeah, the lottery picks that they did get, they kind of wasted, like with Brandon Jennings.
Mm.
But then they build up anyway.
Yeah. And picks like Malcolm Brogdon, too.
Exactly. That was a really good one.
Mm.
Second round pick, and they just got a great shooter with a solid defender and knows how to run plays.
Mm.
On to the Western Conference Finals. The Warriors are also up 2-0 against the Blazers, but it's been much less of a competition. Kevin Durant not expected back until at least after game four, likely out for the rest of the series. It doesn't really seem to matter, though, as the Warriors are looking to sweep the Blazers.
If I'm the Warriors, I'm not bringing KD back because there's no point in risking him at all.
I wouldn't either unless the Blazers start to make a comeback.
They haven't shown me any signs that they have any life. They're just, I don't know. So in game one, game one, it was just like a, it was a straightforward, straightforward win for the Warriors. They didn't come back from anything. They were like leading the whole game. And you could just tell that they were back with that intensity, that they were back in the rhythm, like 2015 vibes. And then they were playing well. They were passing the ball. And that's a big win. Yeah. And then the most notable thing from game one that a lot of people obviously brought up was the Blazers' defense on the pick and roll. Like you on the Curry one, especially, you saw Enes Kanter going under the screen and like feet behind the screen, like staying in the paint while Curry got wide open three.
I mean, I don't think the Blazers have enough talent really to compete with the Warriors at this point. Lillard's been good during the playoffs. Through this series, not as much, and the Warriors just have with Curry, Draymond.
Yeah, they just play great basketball too.
Yeah,
you've seen the ball move. You've seen them set great plays.
Yeah,
like you've seen Klay Thompson come off a lot more screens like he used to again.
Mm.
Same thing with Curry. Like in game two, they got him. They were more active on the pick and roll coming up and over it, but then they just pass it to the roll man.
Mm. I mean, they are the team of this decade, pretty much. I think the Warriors just – they're too good. They're one of the best teams of all time through this era. And, I mean, the Blazers, they're a fighting team and a good team, but they can't compete with the Warriors at all.
They were set up higher than they were.
So, moving on to the NBA draft lottery. This was a really eventful draft lottery and probably the most eventful – full draft lottery of like the past 5 years,
probably because especially because of the new format,
and
especially because those top picks mean so much, seeing how little depth there is in the draft class this year.
Yeah,
it's not too there much depth after like the five pick, but so the most of the first five picks are the. The Pelicans won the lottery. They only had 6% chance of winning, but they won the lottery. Mm-hmm. Second pick went to Memphis.
Yeah.
The third pick went to New York. The fourth pick went to the Lakers. Who was
hoping so hard to get that pick.
I don't understand like why they were like...
Tank for Zion.
Some of them thought that they were getting the pick, but with this year's format, there were two other teams that got the chance. They had the same exact chance.
Yeah.
And they didn't get mentioned like half, like not even like a fourth of the time.
Mm. Yeah, the Cavs dropped down. From the top four, Bulls, I think, were projected to go top four. They dropped
seventh, I think.
They went seven. That was bad.
Yeah.
And Phoenix dropped.
Yeah. The fifth pick went to Cleveland, I think. Yeah, Cleveland. Yeah. And the sixth pick was Phoenix, and the seventh pick was Chicago.
Mm. Yeah, the Lakers landed number fourth pick with the 11th best odds.
Gosh,
which, I mean, a little sus, I think.
The
Lakers.
Because everyone was wondering, like, what's gonna happen with the first pick? Is anyone gonna trade for Anthony Davis? You were here, like, when we were especially from the New York camp that they were thinking of maybe trading it, the Zion or the first pick for Anthony Davis if they got it.
Yeah,
And then, like, other teams probably considering that, too. But then the team with Anthony Davis just got stolen the first pick.
Mm.
I mean, now if Zion and Anthony Davis can team up, that would be amazing. But Anthony Davis
puts the Pelicans in such an interesting position.
I know. It's really awkward for them. And
they have a star who wants out. They have number one pick.
Mm.
They have another all-star. They have, like, a good – they got a new – they fired their last GM over the one-out star.
Mm.
It's just an interesting situation. And then they also – like, they were kind of ready to rebuild after anything that requested for the trade.
Yeah.
Because they traded Mirotić and they traded, like, other pieces.
Well, I think if Davis wants to stay and you're going to pick Zion, then that's good. That's great.
Yeah.
But if Davis still wants to go, even with Zion, I'm like, it's really bad position.
Yeah.
And I think you need to trade away Davis for picks.
Or you just trade down from number one pick.
I think you still take Zion and then you trade Davis for a bunch of picks.
Yeah.
And then you can build around those. And if you don't do good with Zion in the first year, which I think you won't, although Jrue Holiday and Zion Williamson could be a really good combination. I mean, you get some picks.
And then you have Julius Randle there, too.
Mm.
He's been doing all right.
Yeah.
Julius Randle's a reiterated good player.
Mm. He'd be a good replacement for Anthony Davis. He's kind of one of the main guys.
If Anthony Davis stayed there, they could actually have a really good lineup, if you think about it.
Yeah. You got Holiday.
Jrue Holiday at the one. And then at the two, you have to make some moves there. But then at the three, you could play Zion. Then you could play at the four, you could play Julius Randle. And then at the five, you could play Anthony Davis.
And that's a big stretch lineup too, because Randle can play outside shots.
I guess the two, you can play each one more because he can shoot threes.
Yeah, you can play each one more, but
because you need some shooting in that lineup.
I think that lineup would make playoffs.
Can take
that lineup would make the playoffs. I think.
Yeah. But that'd be the only concern of the 3-point shooting today's league. But
they have a couple of players that can make 3-point shots like that. I mean, Jrue Holiday's a really good shooter.
Bench players. Not really good.
Well, Davis can stretch.
Yeah, he can.
Yeah.
So, like, Jrue Holiday's an average shooter. Zion's a below average shooter.
Yeah, Zion's
a below average shooter.
Yeah, Zion's not the best shooter.
I don't know.
You can't. I like Jaw the most, but I know that all front offices would take Zion first instead of Jaw, so. I'm not even going to talk about that.
Same.
Possibility.
Yeah, I don't know. I like Jaw.
Yeah, the more I think about it, I don't know if that'd be the best fit, but I mean, because you'd have like three similar
picks. For the Pelicans, Jaw is not the best pick. For the Grizzlies, yes.
Yeah, so number two pick, it's rumored that the Grizzlies are set on drafting Ja Morant, which was my thoughts too. That's what I was thinking too. I was thinking, right when they got that two pick, I was thinking, you draft Ja Morant and you trade Mike Conley, who they've been discussing about trading for a while now.
Mm. And I think Ja would just be a good player to build around in Memphis. Obviously,
And then I thought about it, and then I was like, you get Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson for the future.
Yeah, that's a pretty good combo. You got Ja kind of distributing to making shots, and you can just
put it up, you have that great defender, and Jaren Jackson, like, the prototypical future player, because he can also shoot threes, he can stretch the floor,
and
he can also play inside, and great rebounds.
Yeah. So, now, Josh Jackson, the Suns' small forward, he was arrested this week for running away from police and being denied VIP access at what I believe was a nightclub.
Yeah, I think it was in Miami.
Yeah.
He was.
So, I'm
a questionable move.
I'm assuming he got mad after he was being denied VIP access, did something stupid, and then decided to run away from the police. Probably he was drunk.
I'm pretty sure. I think he tried to get in, and then they caught him, and then he ran away.
Yeah.
So,
questionable move for a guy who hasn't put out a ton of production for a number four pick.
Yeah.
And now he might be on the verge of.
And then it sounds like they question him again as he gets off the court antics and his personality. And
you don't want to get into things like this because if you're not putting up.
You're not making a huge impact on the floor.
If you're not putting up a huge production, then they won't feel so bad about trading
you
or giving you away. I mean,
like, this is the first time Josh Jackson has gotten himself into the headlines.
Yeah.
And it's for the wrong reasons.
You never hear anything about him.
Exactly.
I mean, he's a great defender, but that's about it. And with all those high picks on the Suns, you'd expect them to win, but they don't. So, not what you want him in
especially
the headlines for.
With that Josh Jackson, like, going back to 2017, I don't know if this is just going to get more salt to injury for the Suns, but with that four pick, they could, like, think about who was drafted after the four pick. They could, that was like the point guard.
De'Aaron Fox.
They could have gone De'Aaron Fox or like Dennis Smith.
Yeah.
Or like Donovan Mitchell or like any other like person who could play
forward. Yeah. Bad pick.
Yeah.
That wasn't... This just sheds more light on it. So the Lakers made some moves. So obviously they fired Luke Walton.
Yep, that happened, yeah.
Which I think was like it was all right move. I'm not really sure about that. But the Lakers decided to hire.
Yeah, and then their coaching search got dicey because they
Yeah, they tried to hire Tyronn Lue, which was really weird.
Yeah, it was really weird because like you saw like the cage, and then you're like, oh, he's going there. But then all of a sudden,
well, he played on the Lakers too, so
yeah. And then all of a sudden, they were supposed to be in negotiations, and then all of a sudden, it was just like they all died, like in one instant, they all died because they apparently offered him a contract that insulted him.
Yeah, Tyronn Lue.
It was like $3 million, $6 million per year, and he wanted a long term contract with more money.
Tyronn Lue doesn't have the right, first of all, to say that it's an insulting contract because Mans can't get a head coaching job if it's not with LeBron at all. So I don't see why it would be insulting for him to like say that you're coaching the Lakers.
His Cleveland one was better, and these days, I mean, he sells himself as a championship coach. So with other coaches that
he got fired,
and that tier, they get higher contracts.
Yeah. So, anyways, the Lakers hired former Pacers head coach, Magic head coach too.
Yeah.
Frank Vogel.
That was a puzzling. That was a question move. Very question.
He was good in Indiana.
He's awful in Orlando. So they literally like they were in the lottery with Orlando. Mm. He leaves. They have the same exact roster, and they make the playoffs.
Yeah.
You start to question him.
Yeah. So I think this might be kind of a LeBron controls the team type of coach.
Yeah.
Probably.
He's definitely going to be manipulated by everybody, the front office, the
owners.
It's
happening, people. It's happening. LeBron's controlling the team next year.
Another thing that Tyronn Lue didn't like about the Lakers offer was that they wanted Jason Kidd on his coaching staff.
Yes, Jason Kidd was also hired as the assistant head coach.
And here with Frank Vogel, they also added Jason Kidd. And I feel like it feels like he's just ready there to pounce. Like he's just there so that when they fire eventually, inevitably fire him, he's just there to take the head coach job.
Yeah,
that's what it feels like.
He's trying to get back into the head coaching job ever since he was fired from Brooklyn and then fired from Milwaukee.
Yeah.
So Kristaps Porzingis, another nightclub thing. I don't know what it is with the NBA stars and nightclub in the off season.
Although Porzingis wasn't at fault.
No, he wasn't. It was Porzingis was involved in a fight at a European nightclub, I believe in Latvia or whatever.
Yeah, it was in his hometown.
Yeah.
If you're not watching yourself in Latvia, then you get assaulted by Russians. Because they were Russian people who assaulted him at that nightclub.
He was in his hometown and he was beaten up because people were mad that he got traded to
Mavericks,
which had nothing to do with him, so I don't understand.
Well, it did, because he asked the trade, but yeah.
I mean, but still.
I mean, who wouldn't, like, why?
Why would you want to?
Why would you beat up someone for that?
It's stupid. I have no clue.
I mean, if you were on the Knicks, wouldn't you want to be traded too? I mean, come on. And it was the best move for the Knicks anyways. So, you know, I don't know. The Cavs hired former Michigan University head coach John Beilein to a 5-year deal. Good move. He's been productive at Michigan.
He was productive at Michigan.
Yeah. 5-year deals.
Yeah, they made the finals last year, the year before last year with Villanova. Obviously lost that one, but he's a good coach.
Yeah.
And they didn't have too much talent, but he made the most out of it. And they played a really good defensive and team. Like they played as a team and it was really good basketball.
Yeah. And I think a 5-year contract is a little questionable, but is what it is. That usually happens with college head coaches anyways. And I think he'll be productive in Cleveland.
We still have some more basketball to come, but we'll all do that after the break. That's it for the first segment. Welcome back to the second part. We're going to finish off basketball and moving into soccer, MLB, and NHL.
Okay, so just a couple last things from basketball. The Lakers are not planning on replacing Magic Johnson.
Which is questionable.
Yeah. And One of the rumors going around about Anthony Davis's trade is that the Pelicans want to contact the Celtics on a possible trade.
This is likely due to the massive amount of assets that the Celtics have.
Yeah, and they're most likely going to be asking for Tatum, Brown, most of the young assets like that, and Danny Ainge will definitely not be willing to give those up.
Yeah.
As those are his untouchables.
Especially because there's only 1 year left on this contract. And you're telling me that in these like 4 years, maybe.
Yeah, and if you're going to give up your young talent, and you're not even going to have Kyrie Irving, I mean,
yeah,
possibly, probably, they're not going to have Kyrie. I think he's probably leaving. And you're just going to have Anthony Davis and about nothing else. So it makes no sense.
Yeah.
No sense at all.
And on to college basketball.
Yeah.
Memphis University.
Very questionable.
Has somehow obtained the number one recruiting class.
In the country. This is an American conference school, which is
not a school you would normally.
Their most notable alumni in the last 10 years is Derrick Rose.
And that's.
Although he was a really good player. And yeah.
Boogie Ellis is pretty good. He's one of their five stars. So their recruiting class
Boogie Ellis is a four star.
They were mine.
He decommitted from Duke.
I'm pretty sure they won the championship in like 2009, but then it was vacated because
it wasn't 2009. It was like 2007, 2006.
No, because D Rose is there.
Yeah, D Rose was there in like 2007.
He was 2008, 2009. He was drafted in 2009.
He wasn't.
Yeah, he was.
He was drafted in 2008 or 2007.
He's drafted in 08.
Now we're having a research.
He was drafted in 08. Yeah, he was. I swear he was. Oh, wait. Yeah, he drafted in 2008. So, which means they won, 2007.
So he played in 2007.
You lose.
He played in 2007, 2008, which means they won the championship.
Yeah.
2008.
Okay. Well, never mind.
Okay.
But
it was vacated. I'm pretty sure Rose's test scores or something.
Yeah, he wasn't eligible.
Yeah. Because he kind of cheated on his tests.
And he didn't take them.
Because he was dumb.
He had someone else take them for him.
Because he failed the first five times he took them. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was ACT.
It's a point in there.
So they have 2 5-star recruits and 5 4-star recruits.
Including the number one prospect, James Wiseman.
But he's actually from Memphis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
There's three people that they have from Memphis. They have Damian Ball, who's a guard out of Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
He's a 4-star. James Wiseman, 5-star out of Memphis. And Malcolm Dandridge, another center, 4-star out of Memphis.
Those would make sense, but the other ones, like Boogie Ellis decommitting from Duke, does not make any sense to me.
And
so,
Precious
Achiuwa. Achiuwa's the one,
from Monteverde. He's a 5-star.
Yeah, he's the latest one who just joined to finish off, to get them over the top as the number one class.
Yeah.
I mean,
Then they have the other 5-star and top 25. DJ Jeffries.
Mm. I mean, they
so
have
Western
the.
Well, they do have like an attraction factor with Penny Hardaway being the coach.
I know, but like, do you think most of them even know who Penny Hardaway is?
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, he wasn't that big of a star. I mean, I love Penny Hardaway, but he wasn't that big of a star.
You've heard of him.
It's not like he's Kobe or anything.
Yeah, but he was like a 20-point person game scorer who was flashy.
I know. He was great.
He had his own shoes. He has to play with T-Mac.
Yeah,
he had his own shoes. He was like a big deal.
Mm.
Kind of like a big deal.
I just don't think he's that big of a star that everybody would know him.
I feel like
at this point.
If you play basketball, you definitely know him.
Yeah.
I guarantee you all those prospects know him, especially because they're 19, 18.
Yeah.
They definitely have heard of him.
Okay.
Well, I still don't think that it would be that good of a destination for them. I don't know, man.
Yeah, there is the possibility that they just want to all team up together, have a good time, all that stuff. But
then why
you see all those
university?
You see all of those players, like top tier players, committing to a almost random college, except for the 3 players from Memphis.
Yeah,
but there's still 4 players that just came out of nowhere.
I don't see how Penny Hardaway is that big of an attraction and that good of a recruiter
off
the bat.
You got to be thinking there's money under the table somewhere.
Yeah,
or
there has to be. It's college sports. There has to be.
Well, they were just attracted by James. Well, I don't know. It probably is. It's
a combination of all things, I think.
Technically not against that, though. Like, you can't have, like, every other college hasn't done that.
Yeah. Well, no. The NCAA definitely has a problem with that.
But they should be able to. Like, they're not even able.
They should.
As of right now, they're not even able to pop it off. their own image. Their own image.
I mean, it is pretty blatant, though, seeing that it is Memphis.
Yeah, it's blatant.
It is. But I'm kind of happy to see a different college program win.
No, it's good. Yeah. I think Memphis will be really interesting next year. As long as
they have a good coach that can bring them all together.
Yeah.
Penny Hardaway. I
hope. Yeah, it's.
We're not really sure what
he
can do.
To see what he can do with that. I don't know because it's like no experience.
Yeah, Memphis didn't even make the tournament last year, and they're getting all these recruits.
Sure. I don't know, Mia.
I mean, I guess you could look at it from a perspective of those players are just going in knowing that they're going to get more opportunities to see the ball, see the court, seeing that there's not as many other talented players.
Malcolm Dandridge, a center, committed after James Wiseman, I believe, who is a five-star center. So, you have why wouldn't Dandridge go to a school where he can actually start?
I'm pretty sure Wiseman can play, like, power forward, too, because he's, like, a skilled, and he can also put the ball on the floor. I'm pretty sure he plays their own power forward.
So on soccer?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. So transfer news. Luka Jovic is going to move from Real Madrid for a reported $67 million. And
this would give them that boost at striker that they have so desperately needed and wanted. Although Benzema's been good. They're not trying to replace Benzema, they're trying to get that like poacher, that finisher type of striker. Not because Benzema's like a hold up passing striker.
Yep, I think this is a really good move for Real. This could make their attack much more
potent and
deadly and more effective.
Exactly.
As it needs to be. And a good move for Real Madrid. I think it'll definitely improve them seeing that they have Zidane back at the wheel.
It's really interesting to see what they do next season because and now there's also rumored to be almost ready to go there.
Yeah, I think that,
then their front line would they'll leave it. It'd probably be like Eden Hazard, Jovic, and maybe like Vinicius. And that would be really exciting and like an energetic.
That's a very talented front line. Yeah. Exactly. So we'll just see what Zidane can do with that, and hope that they can bring it together. And excuse my family's chainsaw outside. Kind of annoying.
That's great. So two more league races came to an end this weekend.
Manchester City were crowned Premier League champions on the final day.
Yeah, Manchester City.
Very entertaining drama between them and Liverpool at the very end.
Exactly. It was a very intriguing and enticing Premier League season for them, for like everybody to watch. It was a two-horse race, but it was a really exciting one that everybody wanted to tune into. So on the last day, it was a really emphatic finish. Manchester City had to tie or lose, and Liverpool had to win for Liverpool to be champions. Probably not likely, so Manchester City ended up winning by 1 point. And there was like one exciting moment when Liverpool was already leading, and Brighton and Hove Albion took the lead on Manchester City. Unfortunately for Liverpool, the lead only lasted less than 2 minutes because Manchester City tied and took the lead within those 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And then went out to beat Brighton 4-1, I think it was. And despite Liverpool winning, it wasn't enough.
And
also
recently today, Bayern Munich won the Bundesliga title race.
Their seventh in
a row. A great send-off for Frank Ribery and
Iron Robin.
Frank Ribery actually scored in that match. And
so did Iron Robin. So it was really, Robin. Yeah, it was really. Because they were a great partnership that everybody loved, and they were a really good dynamic players in their prime.
You just got to feel good for them. I mean, it must feel good for them, too. It's just, you know, just emotional. They spent their entire career there, basically.
Yeah, they spent their primes there, yeah.
And, yeah, it's sad to see that era come to an end, but
I'm going to hope to move on with like players like Kingsley Coman and Serge Gnabry, among others.
And Antoine Griezmann to leave Atletico Madrid. And it's been reported that the Barcelona players no longer want him, seeing that they rejected
It was quoted as like last summer. Veto, because they resent him and don't really want him after he rejected them last summer. So, yeah, this is like a chapter two to his transfer business, because last season he was also rumored to leave. And then he had like a special, and then he said he was staying in Atletico. But then, literally, this like a year later, come this year, he's saying that that he's leaving.
Yeah, and it's just I don't really know what team would take him. I honestly just, I'm not sure. I'm sure he'll go to a good team, seeing the talent that he is. But I can't really see one of the top tier teams taking him. I don't really know why I have a feeling of this, but I just have a feeling that
PSG would love him.
Yeah, I think PSG would like him, seeing that he has chemistry with Mbappe due to the World Cup team. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, that's the only team I can think of that logically would want him.
And they have the money to do it?
And PSG obviously has the money. They have quite a lot of money. Yeah.
It's not European money.
A lot of money to spend. What? A lot of money to spend for PSG.
Yeah, although, I mean, I'd be questioning their finance, how well they're working under the finance rules if they bought him, because he's supposed to leave for like $120 million.
Mm-hmm.
So they probably they'd actually have to break the rules, probably again. Because I think they broke them last time, but, or like sell like Mbappe or someone. Mm. And I wouldn't be against selling Mbappe to Real. But anyway.
Liverpool versus Tottenham in the Champions League final, and it's a all English Champions League final. It's going to be pretty interesting.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what happens. They have a really good teams, both of them, especially exciting team Tottenham get there, despite them having a lot of injuries in the game.
Yeah, a very energetic comeback with Lucas Moura's hat trick against Barcelona.
Liverpool's also got down of a comeback.
Yeah.
And then in the Europa League final, it's going to be Arsenal versus Chelsea.
Yeah. So, Arsenal versus Chelsea. I'm excited. I'm an Arsenal fan. Rooting for Arsenal. You know, it's all of the European finals are English teams, which is first time that's ever happened, so that's kind of interesting. There's the concerns over the location, seeing that I forget who, but there's one of the players that would not be able to play. I think it was Mkhitaryan because of where they were playing the game, because of political rivalries between his country and the country where he's playing, so he might not even be able to make the trip, which would be very unfortunate for Arsenal.
Yeah.
But at the same time, Arsenal might be losing Mkhitaryan, but Chelsea has indefinitely lost Ruben Loftus-Cheek, and he was ruled out after an injury in a friendly against the New England Revolution that I actually went to. Very fun game. And, you know, hate to see a player go down in a friendly like that.
He was reaching his like form. He was like in his stride. When he was injured, he was like starting games and playing well.
It wasn't a super serious injury, but it was enough to make his recovery time more than what was required to make the
2 weeks final left.
And the reason why they played that friendly at that time, which seemed so inconvenient, was their coach actually didn't think they were going to make it this far.
Actually, it's a bad injury. He ruptured his Achilles.
Oh. It said like 2 weeks, so I.
Well, there's 2 weeks until the final.
Yeah, I didn't see the full time frame, I guess.
Yep, so I don't. That could be really bad for his career, and it's really unfortunate that it happened during a friendly.
Yeah, he's definitely going to be upset missing out on that. I think it'll definitely maybe cause a little bit of anger towards his coach, who, after their final Premier League game, had to fly over to the United States, play this friendly, and now they have to fly back into Europe to play their Europa League final, seeing that their coach didn't even believe in them to get this far in the Europa League, which is kind of comical.
It was really comical the way he said it, but yeah. Look, there are concerns over the location in Baku, Azerbaijan, but I'm pretty sure the Mkhitaryan, I don't know if Mkhitaryan is this still in question, but I'm pretty sure that they obviously want to take him there. So I hope he does go there. And Arsenal fans,
they're just concerned about player safety.
Arsenal fans are, UEFA offers Arsenal help with fan travel to Baku, and they also wrote them a letter apologizing for it. Although they really shouldn't have put it in Azerbaijan, because I doubt they're going to fill the 60,000 seater stadium. Well, they could, but it wouldn't be people from there.
And Iker Casillas retires in the wake of his heart attack. Makes sense to retire, seeing that he has playing professional sports, because it could happen at any time, especially with the workload that they put you through and the like what it does to your heart.
Yeah, and
so it's smart for him to retire, take care of his health. Most people love Iker Casillas.
It's a really unfortunate way to end it, but it caps off like a great career that was spent mainly in Real Madrid. They still love him. He's probably one of Real Madrid's greatest goalkeepers ever, possibly the greatest. He won Champions League there, leagues, and he's there. He was there since the youth academy, so he's really an icon for Real Madrid.
Yeah, and Man City are facing a UEFA.
UEFA.
Yep. A possible ban over an investigation for financials. And I don't really know much about that. But
yeah, they're facing an investigation. They could be banned from the extra Champions League. But I don't know. They probably, if they're violating it, then PSG and like other clubs like that are definitely violating it. They did spend a lot of money, so it's very possible that they broke these fines. It's just up to UEFA how legitimate and transparent they are and how they punish City.
And Patrice Evra believes Pogba will leave United. I think he even suggested that Pogba should leave United.
Yeah.
Pogba is a target for a few teams out there for the transfer portal.
Yep.
Real Madrid being one of them on Zidane's varying list of target players.
Yeah, so Patrice Evra, a former United player and a current French player. I'm pretty sure he's like friends with Pogba, so I don't know how much he knows, but yeah, he's suggesting that Pogba leaves. It's not completely out of the question for him to leave United. He was really good at the beginning with their new manager's reign, but then stuff just kind of fell down at the end of the season. Including capped off by a loss to a relegated team on the last day, the Cardiff on the last day.
And
which was horrific.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was 2-0.
Yeah. Jadon Sancho.
Jadon Sancho to Manchester United is 50-50, reportedly.
Yeah, so not really sure if he's going to leave Borussia Dortmund or. Well, not really sure where he's going to leave Borussia Dortmund too. I honestly want him to stay at Dortmund. Same. Just because I like
Man United.
I like seeing someone actually challenge Bayern Munich this season.
I love the way
it's more entertaining.
Yeah, I love the way Dortmund played this season. So they were played really energetically,
even though they're losing Pulisic.
Exactly. Sancho was one of the, Sancho's the one who pushed him out of the starting lineup.
Yeah.
Sancho was one of the best players on Dortmund. He was really good. He had 10 he scored over 10 goals and had over 10 assists. He was really
really good at assisting.
Exactly.
See, this is what Man United needs.
This
is what we need.
You're still going to lose.
We need winners. He's one of England's brightest prospects in a long time, and he just, like, out of nowhere, like, overtook, like, Rashford. He was in the Man City Academy before he just, like, he wasn't getting playing time, so he just made the bold decision to just leave for Dortmund, and it obviously really paid off. And in a recent list by the most valuable young players, he was number one as the most valuable. So, Dortmund has to watch what they have, and it would obviously cost a lot to go to Manchester United, but it definitely wouldn't. I don't think it'd be good for his career. And I'd love to see him develop into a world class player at Dortmund, and see him challenge Bayern like they were within 2 points this season, so they could do it.
Yeah, and Juventus has held very stable meetings to sign Alexis Sanchez.
Please let him go.
I don't know why Juventus would want him or waste their money on him.
Nah.
He'll
be cheap, though, because...
Yeah, he would be cheap.
Yeah, but
so it's
still,
just an easy
I don't know.
Signing.
I still think he's going to ask for a lot of money on his contract.
He probably will.
Because of what he used to be. And he really just rotted away at Manchester United most players do.
I want him at a Man United. I want him gone.
I mean, there's been a lot of players that just transfer to Man United. I think they're going to be great and rot away, which is why I'm hoping Jadon Sancho does not go there.
Exactly. Okay. also, Juventus, Massimiliano Allegri leaves Juventus after like 5 or so fruitful years there in Turin.
Yeah, and Real Madrid reportedly to drop 14 players.
This would probably include the likes of like Gareth Bale. Who else did they want? Probably maybe Isco. It could be Isco.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. I think Benzema might be a 50-50 on dropping him too. Same. But with the way he's been playing this season, Zidane might keep him, just seeing what he's been able to do.
Zidane really likes Benzema too. So
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's going to be almost a complete rebuild, but it won't be like a year.
There's even been like talks of Modric or not. I could easily see him going.
I could see him going because after winning the Ballon d'Or and being dominant in the World Cup, he's just fallen off, not really been performing the way you would expect
Ballon d'Or. He's 33 now, so.
He's kind of not performing the way he's supposed to. Yeah.
Okay.
On to the MLB.
So the Yankees and Red Sox have gone back into a rhythm after really slow starts for both of them.
Yeah, finally. Especially Red Sox.
Chris Sale threw a career high 17 strikeouts.
And they still lost in extra innings against the Colorado Rockies.
Which is very upsetting.
Yeah. Rockies are a good team.
Yankees suffer another injury blow as third baseman Mike Conrad is out for the season with a labrum injury on his shoulder, which will keep him out for the rest of the season. He came back, but then played for like 3 games, but then he wasn't feeling really well. He did not bat well, and will be out for the rest of the season. So probably on the field, he's been replaced. He was already on the field. He was playing mainly only as a hitter because Gio Urshela's defensive ability had replaced him on the field. So the Yankees will probably replace his workload and what he produces with another hitter. Okay, stop pouring me.
Cody Bellinger's still hitting well over 400 batting
which
average.
Is very well right now.
That's he's very impressive.
Especially for the Dodgers.
Christian Yelich is leading the MLB with 18 home runs. Mm.
That was a bad trade for Miami back when they traded him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's now one of the best good players in the world.
The Astros are on a 9-game win streak.
After a win against the Red Sox.
And on a very good offensive run. And Vlad Jr. gets out of an early slump and he hits 2 dingers. Love to see that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a great showing from him after a really slow start to the season his rookie year. Because especially with all the hype he got. Yeah. So I just hope that this continues and becomes a great player.
Yeah, I saw one of the stingers that he had. It went like one of the outfielders went for it, and it went out of his glove, and then it popped
That was the latest one.
Yeah.
That was good. Yeah, but that wasn't part of the 2 he scored.
Mm.
That was the one he scored, yes.
Yeah.
He won yesterday too, so he's starting to hit his stride.
Yeah.
And obviously he has the power to hit them out of the park.
Mm, definitely.
But
he got good genes.
He did.
Brad Keuchel
Dallas Keuchel.
I decided to name him Brad.
Yeah,
okay?
Brad.
His name is Brad.
Yeah.
he's being looked at by the Tampa Bay Rays.
I don't see much in this.
I don't really. No.
Because there's been so much rumors about Keuchel and Kimbrel going to different teams all year, and I don't even think they're going to sign. Like, they're eventually going to, but I wouldn't believe it right now.
Yeah.
At least for this current moment.
And the LA Dodgers, Julio
Urias
is being investigated for an alleged domestic violence.
Nice.
Not good.
Not good.
The Yankees acquire Kendrys Morales from Oakland for player to be named later or cash considerations.
He's a good hitter, though.
Yeah, he's an older player now, so he'll probably be used to throw more to the hitting of the aforementioned.
NBA. Probably like DH.
Exactly.
Yeah.
To fill in for
good depth player, anyways.
Yeah.
And Chris Bryant hit 4 home runs against the Nationals. Just absolutely went off.
Mm, that's the MVP form we like to see.
And that's the Nationals without Bryce Harper.
Yeah. A sad team. Very, very sad team. They got Trey Turner, team. And that's about it.
That is about it.
Right. On to the NHL.
The Bruins finished a sweep
of the Carolina Hurricanes.
With a 4-0 win. It was quiet for the first period, but then in the middle of the second period, David Pastrnak's coach for the Bruins.
Yeah, shove that, Dougie Hamilton.
And then and then Brad Marchand, Patrice Bergeron added 2 more, and then it was finished off with a third period empty net goal from Brad Marchand.
Mm.
So that capped off a great series by the Bruins, in which their depth just
destroyed Carolina.
Yeah, shell shocked the Hurricanes.
They've had a great run.
Can't wait to see them in the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, they were a great upset team, but the Bruins just came in there, handled business, had a lot more depth than them, and just got it done, especially on the power plays.
Yeah, and I think the Bruins right now, if they play the Sharks or the Blues, I think they have the advantage. But I still think that this will be a better series, definitely, than Carolina, which Carolina just couldn't stop the Bruins at all.
And their closest game was Game 3. But Tuukka Rask really stepped up in the 2-1 win.
It's Tuukka time.
It is Tuukka time.
All right.
And Sharks lead the St. Louis Blues 2-1.
So they could have tied. The Blues have tied this series 2-2.
Never mind. It's 2-2. And
this is definitely going to go for
the it,
this
I think
might go
this,
7.
This will be an interesting series, possibly going 7.
Mm. The
Blues and the Sharks both advanced on 7 games, so they could easily go back.
Yeah, I mean,
I think they're
going to
be tired out for the Bruins.
They're definitely going to be tired out. Back-to-back 7-7 series.
The Bruins have...
It feels like a 7-game series so far.
Yeah, the Bruins have so much talent, and with that rest that they're going to have against a team that's been
Yeah, they just have
so
to hope that Zdeno Chara comes back. He probably will.
Yeah, he
will. It was
an
undisclosed injury, but
no.
They probably didn't bother because it's probably very small.
Mm.
It's Zdeno Chara. He'll be fine.
And they have a week or 2 weeks to
exactly
rest for that.
Yeah. And the Anaheim Ducks center, Ryan Kesler, may miss next year because of a hip surgery.
Yeah, it's a main player, and it's going to be really rough for them. I think they were second round elimination this year.
The Ducks?
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe. I'm not really sure.
I'm not sure.
Second round. I don't even know if they made that far.
I think they did. That or the first.
That is all for episode 9. Thank you very much. Make sure to follow us on Instagram and Twitter, and leave us any messages you may have.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
See you guys later.
And thanks for listening.